The great sage Narada continued, "My dear king, attentively receive from me a mantra which is most auspicious. After accepting it from me, in 7 nights you'll be able to see the Lord face to face." Last verse of the chapter. "My dear king, in former days, Lord Shiva and other demigods took shelter of the lotus feet of Sankarshan. Thus they immediately got free from illusion of duality and achieved unequaled and unsurpassed glories in spiritual life. You will very soon attain that very same position." Now we're up to chapter 16. Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, by his mystic power, the great sage Narada brought the dead son into the vision of all the lamenting relatives and then spoke as follows. Shri Narada said, 'O living entity, all good fortune unto you, to see your father and mother. All your friends and relatives are overwhelmed with grief because you are passing away. Because you died untimely, the balance of your lifetime still remains. Therefore, you may re-enter your body, enjoy the remainder of your life, surrounded by your friends and relatives, accept the royal throne and all opulences given by your father.'" Text 4. "By the mystic power of Narada Muni, the living entity re-entered his dead body for a short time and spoke in reply to Narada Muni's request. He said, 'According to the results of my fruitive activities, I, the living being, transmigrate from one body to another, sometimes going to the species of the demigods, sometimes to the species of lower animals, sometimes among the vegetables, and sometimes to the human species. Therefore, in which birth were these my mother and father? No one is actually my mother and father. How can I accept these two people as my parents?'" Purport. Here it is made clear that the living being enters a material body that is like a machine created by the five gross elements of material nature: earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and the three subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and ego. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, there are two separate identities called the inferior and superior natures, which both belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to the results of a living entity's fruitive actions, he is forced to enter the material elements in different types of bodies. This time the living entity was supposed to have been the son of Maharaj Chittiketu and Queen Kritaduti, because according to the laws of nature, he had entered a body made by the king and queen. Actually, however, he's not their son. The living entity is the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he wants to enjoy this material world, the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to enter various bodies. The living entity has no true relation with the material body. He gets from his material father and mother. He is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but he is allowed to go through the different bodies. The body created by the so-called father and mother actually has nothing to do with the so-called creators. Therefore, the living entity flatly denied that Maharaj Chitraketu and his wife were his father and mother. Srimad Bhagavatam is not very sentimental. If you go home and your mother greets you, and you say, "Stop! You're not my mother," it wouldn't be very much appreciated. But actually, it's a fact that we're not this body, and therefore our identification with the body is called illusion. Just like if I enter into a car and I think I become a car, that's called ahamkar. I am the car. But actually I'm not the car. It's a false identification with the car. And on the basis of being the car, I think every Volkswagen is my brother. But I have nothing to do with the Volkswagen, and therefore other Volkswagens are also I have nothing to do with. Similarly, we enter into a body and we're dreaming that we are this body and that things in relation to this body actually related to me. They may be related to the body in some way, but they're actually not related to me because I'm not related to the body. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna he should fight, not just for the sake of fighting. Krishna was not looking for a boxing match to enjoy. Krishna was looking for Yudhisthira Maharaj to be put onto the throne so that a leader would be there who could actually properly direct the people towards self-realization. So that's the purpose of creation, is self-realization. It's not to create a comfortable situation until the moment of death for the living entity in a particular body. It's not meant to provide comfort to the material body so the soul feels comfortable. And that deha patya kalatradishu atma sanyeshva satsupi tesham pramato nidanam pashanapi napashiti. That we're not supposed to judge our advancement, what's good and bad, simply by how good and how bad our material body is. We're not supposed to be working to make the body comfortable and avoid making the body uncomfortable. Nor are we supposed to work to make the body uncomfortable. That's not our business. Our business is to provide the maintenance of the body so that it can be utilized in Krishna's service. And patya, the children. If there are children, it is supposed to be to bring them up to become Krishna conscious. Just like we do everything to become conscious of Krishna, and we help others become conscious of Krishna. So the reason to have children is to help them become conscious of Krishna. And Kalatra means the wife. The wife means to help her become conscious of Krishna also, and to work as a family, as a team, to become conscious of Krishna. So the unity in the family is supposed to be that Krishna is in the center, and by putting Krishna in the center in the family, we learn how to help bring others what a family actually means so that we can create a bigger family, a society where everyone feels that they're part of a family. Atma sanyesh. They're not supposed to be our soldiers to protect our body. We're not trying to acquire things just so my body feels more and more comfortable and less discomfortable, uncomfortable. Atma sanyesh, asatsupi. They're all temporary and fallible. Neither we can protect our family, nor can they protect us. Not one member of our family can even change an atom in our body. So how are they going to protect us? If they can't protect our body from changing and ultimately going towards death, how are they going to protect us? How are we going to protect anyone? Can we tell our wife, my dear wife, don't grow old anymore? It's my instruction to you. You followed all my other instructions. Now I'm instructing you, don't grow old. Don't become diseased. And certainly you shouldn't die. And I don't want you to take birth again. No, the only way of doing that is by instructing the wife and the children and oneself in Krishna consciousness. Then these things can be avoided. Tesham pramato. But people are mad. People are all crazy. Therefore they think, this is my wife. She's meant to provide comfort for me. She's meant to satisfy my desires. This is my husband. He's also meant to provide comfort for me and satisfy my desires. These are children. They're playthings. when they grow up, they're also supposed to protect us and satisfy our desires. That everything is here, just protect me and satisfy my desires. This is called madness. Because no one can satisfy our desires except for Krishna. Our real desire is eternal and full of bliss and awareness of who we actually are, out of the darkness of fear and ignorance. Nidanam pashanapi na pashati. So although people are seeing that no one's helping anyone in this material world, unless they're helping them become Krishna conscious, there may be some temporary help, as Prahlad Maharaj says, balasyaneha sharanam pitaro na shingha nartasya chagadam udanvato majitao now tat privedir yahanja shestas tvadvido tanubritam tvapikshitanam. So Prahlad Maharaj said that the child may be protected by the parents. Pitaro nishinha, balasya neha. Of the child, balasya neha, sharanam, the protection. Pitaro nishinha. Certainly children are supposed to be protected by the parents. But often, in spite of all the protection the parents try to give, the child still dies and doesn't grow up. Nartasya chagadam. Artasya means one who's suffering. Nartasya, of the person who's suffering, Nartasya chagadam, agadam, the medicine, the cure. So a good doctor, good medicine is supposed to help the patient. But oftentimes, in modern society especially, the so-called medicine is actually poison and kills the patient even quicker. And Udanvita Majital now, the boat is supposed to cross the river or the ocean, but sometimes it sinks. Tatvida Balasyaneha Sharanam Pitaro Nishingha Nartasya Chagadam Udanvita Majital now. Tat privitiya ihanjashe stas. So, these things are supposed to be remedies, and sometimes they are remedies. Sometimes the boat does cross the river or the ocean. The child does grow up. And sometimes the medicine proves to be effective, and one doesn't die. Tadvido tanubritam tat upekshitanam. But still everyone dies anyhow. How long will the medicine prove effective? We grow old and die anyhow. The child may grow up, but he dies anyhow. The boat crosses the river, but the people in it eventually grow old and die. So, unless Krishna sanctions, one doesn't live. And even if Krishna sanctions, under the laws of nature, karma, everyone dies anyhow. Therefore, the only real shelter is to take shelter of Krishna. And to give up these false conceptions that somehow or another we're going to band together and protect our gross and subtle bodies. Generally, men are especially interested in protecting their gross body, getting something to eat, place to sleep. Women want their subtle bodies. Of course, nowadays, everyone wants their subtle body massaged also. Men have also become sentimental, that they want to be felt good, feel good. Doesn't matter what's going on in society, it's going to help, but I should feel good. And we should, as everyone is concerned, we should make sure we get the proper nourishment, place to sleep, etc., etc. Whether I'm going to hell in my next lifetime makes no difference. It's what happens right here and now for my well-being of this body. So this is commonly called illusion. This particular spirit soul is not illusioned. He knows that these are not my parents. I've had so many parents. I've been in so many species of life. And therefore, taking birth in this particular family is not necessarily going to help me. If I start thinking I become the king, then I'm simply taking birth in another illusion and wasting another existence. So similarly, our philosophy is not to waste our time. Get out of the material concept of life. Therefore, we're supposed to think ourselves dasa, dasa, anudasa, the servant of the servant of Krishna. And unless we actually think like that, unless we understand like that, then initiation and all our endeavors, etc., are just a show. It's just a show that I'm thinking, I'm acting as if I'm Krishna's servant, but I'm actually thinking I'm something else, or I'm the master of so many things now, and in the future I'm going to become the master of more things. So one has to take seriously this idea that I'm actually the servant of the servant of Krishna and learn how to become the servant of the servant of Krishna. Not just think I'm the servant of the servant of Krishna, but learn how to become better and better at becoming the servant of the servant of Krishna. Even in the spiritual world, no one thinks, yes, I'm a perfect servant of the servant of Krishna. That would be a very boring spiritual world. Nothing to learn, nothing to aspire for, just think about how great I am. Now, everyone thinks I'm the lowest of the servants of Krishna. Even Srimati Radharani thinks like that. And I have so much to learn how to become a better servant of the servant of Krishna. And they're not just thinking theoretically. They're actually learning from each other how to serve Krishna better. And that mood of desiring to become a servant is the beginning of feeling oneself to be meek and humble. Then one can actually make some progress and actually become a real loving servant of the servant of Krishna gradually and get out of the material concept of life that I'm the servant of my senses and my mind and the things in relationship to my senses and mind so that they can help serve my senses and mind. That one has to get out of that. Therefore, that's why we have our philosophy. And here the spirit soul is giving us some idea of what it's like to get out of the material concept of life and not to become merged into material consciousness and expect happiness in the material world in some form in the future. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? So today is Balaram's appearance day, and he's supposed to give us the strength, spiritual strength, to understand this philosophy. Therefore, he expands as the super soul and teaches Bhagavad Gita as Krishna on the battlefield Kurukshetra. And as a super soul, he instructs us in the Bhagavad Gita from within. So that we understand that we're supposed to engage in enthusiastic, steady service to Krishna. And then Krishna will give his intelligence how to become Krishna conscious. And anything else, we'll get intelligence how to forget Krishna. So we have a battle. Battle is whether we want to remember Krishna or whether we want to forget him. So hopefully we'll win the battle of our Kurukshetra. And Balaram is there to help us defeat the enemy.